these career disappointments, these blocks, these rejections, these frustrations that hurt. And I want to talk about the ways in which, when these things happen, we can sabotage our future by not dealing with these things well. Hello, hello. You are listening to Your Unapologetic Career. Being a woman of color faculty in academic medicine who wants to make a real difference with your career can be tough. Listen, these systems are not built for us, but that doesn't mean we can't make them work for us. In each episode, I'll be taking a deep dive into one core growth strategy so you can gain confidence and effectiveness in pursuing the dream career you worked so hard to achieve. All you have to do is tune in to Your Unapologetic Career with me, your host, Kemi Dole, physician, surgeon, researcher, coach, and career strategist, for an always authentic, sometimes a little raw, but unapologetically empowering word. I keep it real for you because I want you to win. Are you building the academic career you want, or hard at work checking boxes on everyone else's to-do list? A successful career doing the work that you love doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your values, your family, or your joy. Stop trying to be everything to everybody and get to learning the strategies that will 3x your productivity, hone your passions into grant-funded projects, and create the career you worked so hard to achieve. If you have been to every career development workshop that sounded great, but didn't actually deal with the kind of institutional pressures you face, if you are working hard but somehow stuck in inefficiency, putting everyone else's priorities first, if you spent years training and sacrificing to become academic faculty, and here you are still working nights and weekends on the projects you care most about, I'm here to tell you that you can walk away from this institutional mindset forever and take control of your career with clarity and strategy. Every day, I help early career women of color faculty in academic medicine, like you, reframe and recreate their academic life so that they can channel their ideas, passions, and skills into grant-funded work with institutional support. And that is why this episode is brought to you by Get That Grant, my 6-month comprehensive high-performance coaching program for high-achieving, early-career women of color faculty in academic medicine who are ready to reclaim career control and secure grant funding doing the work they love. In Get That Grant, we help you kick imposter syndrome to the curb for good, so you lead your career with clarity and confidence. We teach you productivity and strategy skills for grants and papers to maximize your chances of success without wasting your time, abandoning your passion, or working yourself into the ground. We help you to build the foundation for an amazing and fulfilling academic career, changing your life and the lives of everyone your work will touch. Yes, this future is possible for you, and it's waiting on you to make the first step. If you're ready for career success without sacrifice, I encourage you to book a coaching consult call today by visiting kemidole.com/grant. After you book your call, you will complete an in-depth career foundations assessment, helping you identify the gaps in your foundation that are holding you back from enjoying the career you work so hard to achieve. No more secret worrying that you just don't have what it takes. This career assessment will show you exactly where you need to focus to up-level your experience and your impact. Book a coaching consult today to get your career foundation score. Visit kemidole.com/grant to book your call. Okay, hello. This episode maybe is a little bit outside my usual wheelhouse, if I can say that, even though I'm within my first few episodes of this podcast. But I think it will come back and make sense, because what I want to talk about this week is the ways in which we can easily sabotage our future because we're unwilling to truly look at the present. Okay, so that is a lofty title, but that's what we're going to get into. What does that mean? Like, I want to talk about the times where stuff just feels really bad in your career, when we get that huge disappointment, like whatever it is. And I'm talking about the disappointed where it's something very closely related to, you know, our work identity, you know, our work life that just doesn't work out the way that we thought it would. And it really, really hurts. So my examples of this, a personal example would be having my R01 not discussed. Y'all, let me tell you something so painful. I mean, so painful. Like, oh my God, as I'm even saying it to you right now, let me tell you what, like, even as the words are coming out, what I desperately want to do is already start to mitigate what I just said by telling you all the great things associated with this R01 and why it's actually like really good and fortunate that it didn't get funded because your girl has no time and like all these other things. Like I'd hear myself trying to say it and I'm holding back on purpose because what I want to acknowledge, that is like a very specific example of what I want to acknowledge, is because all of that stuff, all of that mitigating stuff that I could share, it doesn't matter. So yeah, sometimes those things can make me feel better and we'll get there in a second. But the bottom line is these kinds of major disappointments that can feel identity shaking hurt. So some other examples of this to put us all in the same conversation. When you get a paper rejected, you know, first author, you really care about it and it gets a really critical review. Like, I'm not talking like, you know, oh, they had a lot to say, but it was really helpful. I mean, the kind of review where they're like, why did you even like write this? Like, I'm unclear why anybody would put these words to the page. Really critical review. Another example for my surgeons out there, getting a surgical complication or having your patient, having a patient experience a surgical complication. It's hard. It hurts. And the thing is, and this is what I recognize, is that somebody else might not even think like it's a big deal, like that level of complication, like this is a minor issue. But for you, you know, you're like, you don't understand my standards. Like this is a big deal. I have a different threshold for myself and this is unacceptable. Anyway, hurts. So those are examples of what I'm talking about. These career disappointments, these blocks, these rejections, these frustrations that hurt. And oh, you know what? I'm going to add one more, which is getting scooped, but like maybe even beyond just getting scooped, you know, like with your research, but basically when it has a tinge of either maybe subtle or overt, like exploitation, like this moment when you realize somebody is literally taking your intellectual contributions and running with them without you, you know, with like no reference to your things or just like anything, you know, that feeling where you're just sitting there like, wow, you really don't respect me at all. So I wanted to add that in because I know that unfortunately many of us have experienced that and it's an ugly, ugly side of academic medicine. And so it belongs in the conversation. Okay. So now that we've established what we're talking about, when I'm talking about severe disappointment, serious failure, I want to talk about the ways in which when these things happen, we can sabotage our future by not dealing with these things well. And I think that this comes from the fact that the bottom line is that nobody wants to feel bad. Like we don't want to feel disappointment. We especially don't want to feel embarrassed. I think that a lot of people talk about like, oh, I don't want to be disappointed or I don't want to feel bad. But honestly, for those of us like really high achievers who are used to winning, you know, not getting something we want, getting rejected. Yes, there's pain and disappointment, but there's this other layer of like embarrassment and like shame, like this visceral place that can almost feel humiliating. Like, oh my gosh, like I quit. I didn't win this time. Oh my God, I'm done. So if that's you, I am talking to you. Okay. So we don't want to feel these feelings, y'all. We don't want to feel them. We're human beings. It makes sense. And the question that I want to pose for all of us, pose for you this week is what do we do about that? I'm specifically thinking about this in the context of our career because I think part of what happens when we're in these feelings and we have to acknowledge is that it's really hard to have any perspective on past or future when this is like actively happening, right? Like in these first few days, first few weeks after something very disappointing happens, even if you can intellectually understand that it will not last forever, it still feels like it's going to last forever, you know? And I don't know, some of you may resonate with the framing from Brené Brown of like a shame storm, you know, some of you may not, but it's just very hard to be in the depths of rejection and be able to access, like, not just intellectually, but like actually emotionally access and feel and see a time where it won't be so bad. And our natural reaction then is like to have this intensity of disappointment, potential embarrassment, potential humiliation, and to understand intellectually, but not really be able to access, you know, emotionally, like within us, that this is not going to last forever. Like, this is going to be okay. But in the moment, it doesn't feel like that. I think that we tend to have certain reactions, and I think those reactions have consequences. And so one of the reactions that we have is numbing, which is basically escapism, which is like, let me do literally anything else to take my mind off this. So again, I point you in the direction of Brené Brown. You can go learn all about numbing. She's not the only person who talks about it. I think she writes about it well, lots of classic stuff there, and kind of wrote things I think a lot of us have already heard about, you know, escapism type activities. For me, I like French fries and ice cream, but you know, a lot of people go in a different direction. I'm not really going to talk that much about that. But I do want to point out that one of the ways that I think especially high achieving faculty in academic medicine, I think one of the ways that we numb is we go just achieve something else. So our numbing is the way that we redirect is we're just like, oh, let me just go achieve over there. It's like, it's hilarious. And here's the thing is like, it's effective. You probably can pivot and go do something amazing somewhere else, potentially an interesting way to avoid feeling bad. And I just want to acknowledge that it can have positive returns, but ultimately it's not a long-term strategy. So anyway, so we numb. And the other thing that we do is if we're not just numbing, I think we potentially, without really being aware of it, we switch into how do I figure out how to make this hurt less? How do I reduce this? You know, how do I make this go away? And that is where things start to go left. Because it's the things we try to do to make these acute events hurt less that create problems in the future. And that's where we're going. One thing that we do, try to make it hurt less, is we'll pretend that it's not a big deal. So, you know, we don't want to feel that pain. And so we will literally pretend it's not a big deal by saying that lie out loud to people as if it were true. Like, we'll pretend it doesn't matter. We'll pretend to be flippant about it. We'll jump into the kind of groupthink conversations, you know, nobody gets their first R01, hashtag my first R01. Like, we'll jump into the narrative of the academic grind, you know, yeah, this sucks, this place sucks, it's just how it is, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Because in that way, it can become less personal, like less of a personal loss or a personal failure. I'm just part of this bigger thing, and like that can lessen the pain. And yes, I think there's a lot of benefit in connecting with people who have experienced similar struggles, and I'm not discounting that, but I want to point out something that I also see often, and I see the scars of it later, is that we can do that and really bypass our own experience. We bypass the personal part, the individual disappointment part, and jump into the group conversation, jump into the narrative. It's not a big deal. This happens to everybody. You know, we're just part of the rigged game. Checkbox, keep moving. And, you know, let's be frank. I think we see this on Twitter all the time. So another thing that happens, you know, we're in this state, we're super frustrated. It feels like this, the shame at being rejected, this hurt, this pain is going to last forever. And, you know, misery loves company. So we'll reach out. And here's the thing, like, obviously, once again, we need connection and we need support. We should reach out to each other for connection and support. However, when we're in a place, though, where we're reaching out because we don't really want to feel this stuff, right? Or we want to feel it less, we're trying to make it go away. We will reach out in commiseration, in a place of like complaining and ranting. And y'all know, you guys know what I'm talking about with those conversations, right? Like, for the duration of the conversation, it feels good because you get to refocus, right, on like how good of the rant is, right? Like, you get to dig into your metaphors and like the curse words and all of that. And it feels really good. And the second the conversation is over, you actually feel worse. You definitely don't feel any better. It's like during the conversation, you're just slightly distracted from the personal actual hurt you're feeling. And I want to point this out because I actually think, you know, career-wise, profession-wise, like we can sometimes even build entire relationships, like entire peer relationships about basically this misery. And ultimately, it's not helpful when those relationships aren't balanced out with empowerment conversations. Podcast for another day. Anyway, but it's another way that we try to lessen the acute pain. And then the third way that I want to highlight is this numbing, where we will just kind of go into a workaholic mode. And it's a little bit distinct from what I was talking about originally with numbing and like going achieving something else. I kind of mean numbing in a distracting way, where we'll just kind of put our nose to the grind, like just kind of accepting this is a reality forever. So I'm just going to go create pain somewhere else. You know, I'm going to go double book my whole clinic, you know? And so I'll be miserable, but at least I'll be focused on something else. And that thing is actually super frustrating, but it can get us out of that personal feeling of failure. So it is kind of like just creating work or going to throw yourself into work that you might not even enjoy. But just literally the physical and mental effort of that can pull you out of dealing with the kind of personal rejection, identity shaking, and sometimes rejection of having things, you know, not have worked out the way that you want to. So these are all of the ways that we try to reduce the pain. And I'm recording this and I'm talking to you about this because those are not without consequence. And that's the problem. The problem is that when that's our approach, you know, when we're doing all these things, and I would offer that, you know, all of these examples I just used, very culturally accepted, right? Nobody's going to look at you when you're doing any of these things and say, oh, you are maladjusted, right? No. But the problem is that it can be very easy to busy ourselves with these things and not actually just let ourselves feel the disappointment. And what I want to say is that when we take these tactics, consciously or unconsciously, what we're actually doing is we're actually disrespecting our initial intention and goal of whatever it is that didn't work out, right? We are disrespecting how much we cared about it. We're not really honoring what it really meant by allowing ourselves to mourn and mourn deeply and be okay with the fact that something work-related, something in our career that really mattered, that we put a lot of effort into, that in a lot of ways, you know, because we felt so passionate about it and it didn't work out, it really, really sucks. Because it is a part of us. It really did mean something. It's really not just about the grind. It's really not just about the gold star. The content really mattered to you. And when we do these things to try to bypass this mourning, right, to try to lessen it, you know, because we don't really believe it's ever going to go away in those moments, and it's culturally accepted to do so, I think we really rob ourselves of the dignity of just being in grief, of just being allowed to be in grief. Like, you don't have to explain it away. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to make it into dry humor. You know, you don't have to tell somebody, then have an immediate plan of why, how ultimately it's all going to be fine. You don't have to put on a good face. You know, you can just say, this was really, really important to me. This really, really mattered to me. And it sucks. And I'm a bit devastated right now. This is not the way I wanted it to go. That's it. You know? And then breathe. Because when we do that, one, well, we get to remind ourselves how much we actually do care. We actually get to remind ourselves when we're willing to sit in the disappointment and the grief,
we get to remind ourselves that we actually are here for something a lot bigger than us. We get to reground ourselves in our whole purpose of being in this quote unquote crazy game. And from that place, two things that are absolutely priceless, absolutely invaluable, emerge. One, you will actually get to see with intense clarity the colleagues and peers who can come into that place with you and provide authentic, constructive, helpful community. Sometimes it's actually only from that place that you find those people. It's only from that place that you can be so clear and discerning about who those people really are. And the second thing is that when we really let ourselves sit in the disappointment, sit in the failure, sit in the embarrassment, maybe even a feeling of humiliation, when we really let ourselves sit in it, when we don't try to put a PR campaign around it, when we don't try to flip it and then be flippant about it, when we be real with ourselves with it and we allow ourselves to express that, one, it does pass. It passes. And from the place of being able to take time to remember why we're here and what we want to do, the inspiration comes back. The motivation clicks back online. We don't cripple ourselves by dreaming less big so we won't fall as far. We don't abdicate and move away from our true goals by trying to get another quick win, even though it might compromise or might truly be moving you away from some important pillars of your work or important values that you hold that you're now willing to sacrifice just to get out of this place of disappointment, shame, to get back into quote unquote achieving. When we allow for the space, but we don't try to hold the feeling, you know, like a beach ball underwater, just waiting for it to erupt some other time. We take time to accept whatever happened. We start processing and learning from it. And the beautiful thing is that we actually give ourselves release from any embarrassment, from any humiliation. We give ourselves release from anything like that because we become more interested in harvesting what we can from the experience and being able to support our future selves. You know, when we allow ourselves to be truly disappointed because we know it's not just about the gold star, because the work really mattered to you, when we allow ourselves to do that is when we get our gold out of the experience. It's how you actually ensure that nothing is ever a quote failure. The things that you're able to access from that place, you can't get when you're only on top. And yeah, I don't like that either, but it's true. It's true. So I want to share with you all not to be afraid of how much you care, not to try to turn into somebody who can be callous, you know, or even quote unquote thick skinned, like whatever. Let how much you care fuel your desire to keep dreaming big and going for it. And remember that as acutely painful as it is, not as it may be, but as it is, as it will be eventually at some point, that there is so much value in the quote unquote failure. There's value in the rejection. There's a lot of value in understanding and knowing that you can handle that disappointment. You can pass through it without abdicating yourself, without pretending, that you can honor how much you cared and that you will come out of it with gold. All right. That's what I want for you and for all of us. I hope you have a great week. Thanks for spending time with me. If this resonated with you, if this hit somebody at the right time, maybe this had you reflect on ways in which you've managed disappointment or failure before. Maybe it actually gives you some resilience in thinking about news that might be coming, let me know. Come and find me on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at the same name everywhere, Kemi Dole. Let me know what you thought. And if you are so inclined, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave me a 5-star rating. I would be so appreciative of that. All right. Have a great week. I will talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening with me today. I appreciate your time, as I know it's so valuable. I hope this episode was helpful to you, and I hope you feel energized to go out and claim your unapologetic career. See you soon.